thanking God for our food. Appropriate, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hand, we all are fed. Thank you for our daily bread. I'm probably not the first person to coin that, the Lord's dinner prayer, but that's the prayer I learned as a child to pray before each meal. God is undoubtedly great. Come and see what God has done, Psalm 66. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He's turned the sea into dry land. As Moses stretched out his arms, Israel walked across the sea. They passed through the river on foot as they entered into Canaan. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Asks the rich young ruler. Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. So God is great and God is good. And if we follow our Savior's example, we will thank God for the food that we eat. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. Likewise, let us thank him for our food, for by his hand we all are fed. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, reap, or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Therefore, don't be anxious, asking, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Thanksgiving is the appropriate response to acknowledge our dependence on God humbly. So before we break bread together, we will pause and thank God and humbly ask for his blessing on our food and honor him who abundantly gives. Now, Sarah and Lily were driving the last week, and Lily said, Mom, you know what we should do? What, Lily? We should get the whole family together. Not just you and me and Ephraim and Warren, but the whole family. You know, like Sam and Lukey, Uncle Jeff and Aunt Becky. Get the whole family, have dinner, and just say what we're thankful for. You mean, like, on Thanksgiving? Sarah said, huh? You see, devoid of the context of the Thanksgiving holiday, Lily naturally associated giving thanks with eating a family meal. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
The dinner table is a vital piece of furniture in our home. We have some rules around it. Rule number one is no cell phones. No cell phones. We devote our attention to each other. That rule is followed pretty well. Rule number two is something we strive for. We use good manners at the table. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. We try and not yell. That's a tough one. Dad shakes his head. What happens is Warren starts screaming. We think it's not because he doesn't have food, but there's food. I think it's just he doesn't like his chair, maybe. But then Ephraim starts, because he wants to be heard, so there's a lot of yelling. We're working on it. But it is a rule that we try and follow. On the wall behind our chair, as Sarah and mine that is, we have the Lord's dinner prayer to remind us of the Lord's provision so that we receive our meal with glad and generous hearts. Now, besides my wife's and my mom's cooking, church potlucks are some of my favorite meals. And because Sarah and Mom are in our church family, I can safely say that this meal may well be one of the best I've ever had. So I believe eating was very important to the early church. Luke tells us that the first Christians were dining together in their homes with glad and generous hearts praising God in Acts 2. I believe associating eating together with rejoicing is an essential piece of God's children's fellowship with each other. When Israel or Judah had returned to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, Ezra, upon their completing the first section, Ezra opened the book of the law and they read from it, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And then there were 13 Levites there who explained that to all the people. And the people's response was mourning and weeping for their transgressions. And then Ezra told him, and you read this in Nehemiah 8, Ezra told them, don't mourn, don't be sad. This day is holy. And so they understood, and they celebrated the Feast of Trumpets according to the law, which was a feast giving thanks for and memorializing God's great provision through the Mosaic covenant. So that got me thinking about feasts, and we're going to feast today. And then next week, we'll probably feast some more. And that feast is made possible by God's provision through you all, his family, among whom I am humbly and honored to count myself. So let's begin this feast by acknowledging and thanking God for his generous provision, for God is great, God is good. Let's thank him for our food. By his hand we all are fed, so let's thank him for our daily bread. But let's let our thanksgiving grow. Let our thanksgiving grow from the physical to the spiritual. On the occasion of fasting, the tempter came to Jesus and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And he answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now Jesus quoted directly from the same law that Ezra read to those Jews. The same law that the Levites explained to them, to which their response was mourning and weeping. That word of God was undoubtedly one of the many that brought them to weeping and mourning for their negligence. And that brings me to our text. 2 Chronicles, the last chapter, 36, beginning with verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And he did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations. And they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his word and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. Zedekiah was a bad man. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He didn't humble himself before Jeremiah. He spoke the Lord's message. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. Also, all the priests and the people were likewise exceedingly unfaithful. They were worshiping foreign gods. The Bible says that they followed after all the abominations of the nations and they profaned the temple in Jerusalem. But God sent them messenger after messenger. in his mercy, in his loving kindness. Jeremiah spoke from the Lord, from the day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt. From that day, I have persistently sent all my servants, the prophets, to them, day after day. And God is great. Great enough to part the Red Sea and let Israel walk into their salvation on dry land. And day by day, he was sending them messenger after messenger. For about 1,000 years, prophet after prophet warned Judah to repent. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising their words, scoffing at the prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people and there was no more remedy. Consequently, verse 17 says this, therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion on the young man or virgin, old man or age. He gave them all into his hand. Is John 6 still fresh in your memory from the last couple of weeks? You remember Jesus returns after feeding the 5,000 to Capernaum. And he preaches the participation in the divine nature to an eager crowd of thousands. The bread of God is he who comes from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He said, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And at the end of that sermon, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, do you want to go away as well? In modern vernacular, he's saying, what? Aren't you going to desert me? Isn't this too hard for you to understand? And Simon Peter speaks up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. In Caesarea Philippi, Peter would later make the great confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A couple years after that, Peter would preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a festival. It's what's called a Paschal feast, celebrating the Paschal lamb that takes away the sins of the world. It was celebrated to thank God for the grain harvest, for it renewed the covenant. They were thanking God for their entrance into the promised land and all its bountiful provisions. And on the day of Pentecost, people had an audience of Jews who believed. They believed in God. And he preached to them, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up to the divine, to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. This Jesus, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Let the house of Israel know, therefore, for certain, that God has made him Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus began that bread of life discourse And he was talking about the work of God. And he says, don't work for the food that perishes, but work for the food that endures to eternal life. And so they ask him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? To which Jesus answers, believe in him who he has sent. See, hearing, believing, accepting, and obeying the gospel is eating the manna that came down from heaven. The gospel at its core is the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And upon hearing the core of the gospel, one is put to a decision. Either believe, trust, and obey it, or reject it and go your own way. Now the latter results in the second death, being thrown into the lake of fire and death in Hades. But the former, believe, trust, and obey it, results in a lifetime of learning to keep God's commandments. And it also results in eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, in totality, the gospel is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Only by knowing God's righteousness can we recognize sin, resist it, and escape its grips. There's no temptation that's foreign to man. But God is faithful. When you open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians 10:13, I want you to underline that verse. With every temptation, we know that we are able to overcome. The Word of God says that. That's the truth. Because with each and every temptation, God has already provided the way of escape in the sword of the Spirit. It's already provided. If we hide His Word in our heart, we are armed to defeat sin through the faith that extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Satan likes to come in our weakness and tempt us to sin. He came to Jesus when he was weak. He was fasting, and he tempted him with a feast. And Jesus defeated the agent of sin with the Word of God. So as we sit down to feast, let's not be found fasting on God's Word, but eagerly feasting on the bread of life so that we will never hunger or thirst. Let us hear and heed the voice of the prophets after the prophets after prophets that God has sent so that the Lord's wrath will never come upon us. For God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. The food that sustains our bodies and the food that endures to an eternal life. But by His hand, we all are fed. Thank you. For our daily bread. Grace and peace in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our invitation hymn this morning.